Hi, and welcome to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. My name is Emily Thomas, and I am a mom on a mission to get a new perspective. Y'all, I am not proud of it, but I spent far too long waiting for my daily irritations to resolve before the good times can begin. And I'm thinking the struggles are just going to keep coming, so I might as well get a new plan. God promises if we persevere through our daily struggles, our character will be built and we'll end up with a hope that doesn't disappoint. And I don't know about you, but my hardest days happen when I've lost sight of that hope. So if that's your story too, join me each week as I interview someone who has passed from just struggling to struggling well. Hey friends, welcome to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. This is episode 31, and we're going to talk with my friend Caroline of CK Stitches. She is a mom of three young kids who lives in the Pacific Northwest. I have always wanted to live in the Pacific Northwest. I wanted to be from there. My parents kind of messed up and had me in Arizona instead. By the way, I had a friend in real life ask me if I thought people knew that I was joking when I say things like that. See, in my daily life, I can tell when I'm confusing people with my humor, but I can't see your faces. So if your faces are confused, just know that I'm kidding. I'm super kidding. So first off, the mugs came. They're perfect, except for the fact that they were printed on the wrong side. They are back at the factory being printed on the other side too, which is awesome because I really wanted them printed on both sides, but I didn't want the mugs to be too expensive. So yay, they're gonna be printed on both sides for no extra cost. Many of you have already bought yours and you'll get them as soon as I do. If you and everyone you know needs a super cute red Mom Struggling Well campfire mug printed on both sides at no extra cost to any of us, go to momstrugglingwell.com/mugs. You buying them is a fun way to support the costs associated with making this show every week, and you get something fun out of the deal, so everybody wins. Today in my talk with Caroline, we cover how she started her small business, how she creates margin in her schedule, and what she does to avoid being the mom who yells. We also cover the perils of small ear holes. And when she talks about seeing my smiling picture, it's what shows up when we're talking on Skype. It's the same picture I used for my podcast. You'll know what I mean in a second. Okay, enough from me. Let's talk to Caroline. Hi, Caroline. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good. Well, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Thanks. Me too. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, will you tell us about your family and who you are?
Sure. So I'm Caroline. I've been married to my husband, Dan, for about 8.5 years. He is a financial advisor around the Seattle area. He works at hospitals and universities, different nonprofit institutions. Okay. And we have three kids. We have Sydney, who's 5.5, Drew, who's about 3.5, and then Brody is our youngest. He's 9 months.
That's an adorable name.
Thanks. We struggled with that last one. I thought for sure he might be unnamed. Boy names are really hard for us.
Yeah.
That was the name my husband was pulling for the whole pregnancy, but he came out and he just seemed like a Brody, so we went with it.
Were you happy with that name after you landed on it?
Yes, I've had no regrets. I didn't really dislike it. I always wanted Grant for him. Like he just, I don't know, that's what I felt like when I was pregnant. I really liked the name Grant.
Okay.
And then he came out and I never really bought into the thing that a kid would seem like a name, uh-huh. But as we were like looking at this tiny baby, I'm like, he just doesn't feel like a Grant. Like I still love the name. We actually did Thomas as a middle name and I loved the sound of Grant Thomas, but it just didn't seem to fit him and I've had no regrets, which is good. I can be kind of an indecisive person, so I was a little nervous that I'd look back and like, oh, I should have fought for Grant because my husband kind of left it like, if you really want a different name, we'll go with it. But yeah, his full name is Broderick, but we call him Brody.
So I love that.
Yeah, thanks.
With my son, we had like 4 hours notice with him and his name's Porter. And I named him and then started calling him like Parker. And I just was making up other names because the whole thing happened so fast that I was still like, I don't know, who are you?
Oh, like forgetting. That's hilarious.
Yeah, just named him something, called him something else completely.
I've heard of some couples like bringing their kids home and then trying out like this name for a week, this name for a week. Oh. I'm like, that would be A, confusing probably for their siblings, if you have older kids.
That's true.
And B, I just think it would be hard. Yeah, you have to kind of just go with your gut and go with it and no looking back.
No looking back. It's true.
It seems to fit him this far in life, in his short little life so far.
That's so good.
Yeah.
So you live in Seattle. That makes me incredibly jealous.
Yes, we do. Yeah, we moved about 3 years ago now. So I grew up in a military family, but I went to Ohio for college and met my husband there, like always intended after college to go home, which is actually Alaska is where my parents are.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So So I intended to go home, but then we met when I was in college and just ended up staying in Ohio for several years and then moving in 2013. We moved to the West Coast.
Okay. So. Does everybody ask you if you lived in an igloo?
Yeah, I've gotten that question a lot. Yeah. It's funny because not so much here, like maybe it's because we're adults now and people know a little bit more. Like as kids, people would, you know, ask about your dog sled and your igloo so and all funny. That. Like some partly joking, but probably some really thinking that, you know.
Mm-hmm. I always got, I'm from Arizona and everyone wondered if I lived in a teepee.
Oh, okay.
I didn't. That's funny. Just to clear anything up. Yeah. Totally didn't.
Yeah, I should say that too. I didn't live in an igloo.
Okay.
But
good.
But it's funny because living in Seattle, like so many people, like you meet more people out here who have been to Alaska than you do in the Midwest. You know, it's just, it's not that far. Alaska Airlines flies like multiple flights every day. It's like a quick 3-hour flight, you know.
Okay. Wow.
So it's not as much of a novelty here as it was in Ohio, but.
For sure. It seems pretty cool for this Arizona girl.
Yeah. Yeah. If there's a place my parents have to live, Alaska is a good place to be because we go up every year and visit and good place to kind of call home. So
that's neat. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me about your shop and when you started it, what you do, what's in it.
I have a shop on Etsy, CK Stitches for my initials, and then I sew. So hence the stitches.
There you go.
I didn't know how to sew, but my husband and I got married in 2007. A couple years after that, we knew we wanted to start thinking about having kids. And in my mind, I was like, oh, if I'm going to be a mom, I better know how to sew. Like, okay. I don't know why, but I just felt like if we had a little girl, I would like to make her dresses. Like, that was kind of just a little dream of mine and okay. just seemed like a fun hobby. And I had, like, my mom sewed a little bit growing up, so I had a little bit of exposure to it. But a few years after we were married, my grandma is actually a really good seamstress. And okay. so I got in my mind that I wanted to learn. So one long, I think it was Labor Day weekend, maybe we drove from Ohio out to Pennsylvania. I had her give me like a one-day crash course in sewing, like real quick.
How cool that your grandma taught you.
I know. I think that's part of the reason I really love it too, because it's kind of that legacy of hers that's now been passed down. And so she sent me home with like some basic supplies. She gave me a Singer sewing machine that like retailed for $100, but she got it on clearance at Target for like $20.
Awesome.
Which tells you how well it really worked. I made do for a while and then I ended up upgrading, but it was, you know, a good little starting machine. And so we brought all that stuff home. I just kind of like trial and error, watched some videos, read some books. And then fast forward like a year later, we were due with a little girl. So I was all excited, but I also knew I was facing going part-time at work so that I could stay home part-time with her.
Okay.
And I had a friend from our church that had an Etsy shop. I didn't know too much about it, but she kind of talked to me a little bit. She made like super cute quilts and crib sheets and stuff like that. So
okay. Let me just interrupt for 1 second.
Okay.
The lady who married the guy who started Etsy, mm-hmm. I went to high school with her.
Really?
It kind of kills me.
Wow. Because
she's like a gajillionaire.
Yeah, for real.
Not random.
You want to hear my kind of, it's not really a connection, but kind of a similar situation.
Yes.
So I went to college in Ohio, but I went back since we moved. I went back this fall and met up with some college friends there for a weekend. And mm-hmm. we were talking and I'm not friends with him, but it kind of blows your mind when you feel like you have a few degrees of separation.
Right.
He was Uber's first employee. Not the founder, but like I looked it up, he's like worth more than Taylor Swift. Like he's on like
goodness.
Forbes lists. And like, I mean, it's just, and you can picture this person in your mind, you know, from
it
college.
It is weird.
Like, holy cow. Why?
Like I'm almost on Forbes list, but not yet. Do
yeah.
you know what I'm saying?
Well, this is good. Now I can say I knew her when, and I'm going to make sure to stay in touch with you too.
Please.
Yes. Yeah, it's like, why was I not friends with him in college? Because, you know, your paths, he kind of was involved with Campus Crusade, which I was involved uh-huh. with too, but.
Yeah, we definitely didn't play our cards right.
Not at all.
So anyway.
I'm also always thinking like, what great idea do I have that I don't know that I have that I could market? Because it just takes one idea. Yeah. So I need to keep thinking. I haven't come up with it yet. But.
Yeah, I got nothing.
So, yeah, I talked to my friend a little bit who had an Etsy shop. And so I ended up opening mine just as kind of, you know, facing going part-time at work. I'm like, if this turns into something, that's great. If not, you know, it'll be a good little hobby. I really love sewing. Like I had found that out in the past year. So
your main thing was to make some money or it was mainly as a hobby?
A little of both. Like I was hoping I could make money, but I knew that I couldn't plan on it for sure. Etsy was kind of taking off at that point. And I'm like, I don't know how saturated it is.
Mm.
I knew it would probably start out slow. So we didn't have me go part-time at work depending on the money from Etsy, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It was kind of fun money. If I made a sale, it was exciting and more just kind of fun. But I did want that creative outlet. Like, I felt like I was super excited to become a mom, but I felt like I needed something else too.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a hobby where I could sew and make a bunch of stuff and not have it sit around our house or become that person that was giving every single person I knew a hand-sewn gift.
Yeah, another pot holder. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Every Christmas, I'm that daughter-in-law, whatever, sister. So I opened that in June. I had our baby in August. It slowly took off. I sewed a bunch, you know, as I got little pockets of time with a newborn. I think the first year was pretty slow, but it's kind of just taken off since then. I originally opened my shop with the plan to make aprons, which I do not make aprons now. Okay. I do make them like for gifts here and there, and I really like sewing them. But I wanted to open a shop that, like, I loved all the modern fabric that you found, mm-hmm. like not the calico, you know, floral, but the bright colors, bold colors.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to open a shop that offered like practical items in kind of updated styles and colors. That was kind of my goal.
So what do you offer? What do you have?
So I quickly realized, like with the aprons, I was a slow sewer at that point, and they took a long time. And I had, you know, errors here and there. I was sewing on a not great machine at the time. I was a new sewer, so I just was very slow.
Mm-hmm.
And with a newborn, I'm like, I need to be able to start and finish something in like a good length of time, you know.
Okay.
I can't be spending weeks on one apron
mm-hmm.
only to sell it, you know, to build up a shop. So I started making, my first thing was coffee sleeves, and I still sell those.
Mm-hmm.
I do burp cloth sets. I do infinity scarves, crayon rolls, just kind of a variety of items.
I saw just recently you have chopstick for keychains.
Yeah, little lip balm keychains. Yeah.
Those are adorable.
Thanks.
Was that your idea or is that a thing? I had never heard of seen that before.
I kind of played around with it to come up with how I wanted it to look. And I had seen like a few different examples, but the keychain part of it, I wanted to be able to clip on instead of the round,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes sense, but like the round jump ring. I didn't want to have to mess, you know, people who buy these, I didn't want them to have to mess with like screwing it on to a
mm-hmm.
or whatever. So
this is your idea.
Kind of, but yeah, I don't think it's like Uber or Etsy.
Never know. Forbes might be calling you tomorrow.
Maybe. Maybe I should trademark it.
They're adorable. I love them.
Thanks. Yeah, they're fun to make.
So what do you like best about having a shop?
I love raising our kids, but it gives me something while I'm at home with them that I can put my energy into too. I love just, the creative side of it, like taking basically nothing and making something that's useful. Instagram, like I might have made connections on Instagram anyways, but I love that the shop gives you, like you meet a lot of other makers. Like that's probably how you and I met. I don't remember really,
mm-hmm.
but
it is,
you know, coming across people who make different things, but you feel like you kind of share a common bond with creating something. I just love that. Like I love hearing other people's processes. And so, yeah, it's fun.
It is fun.
Yeah.
What do you like least about having a handmade shop?
The balance is really hard. I think any mom can relate to that, shop or not. Like I try not to have expectations on getting any sort of sewing or orders done during the day. So with three little kids here, like I just found that that leads to frustration. But if I'm doing the shop so that I can stay home with them, then it seems kind of counterproductive to be mad at them when I can't sew. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. So your solution is just do it while they're asleep?
Yeah, I just don't sleep as much. Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, I do some here and there. Like I share a playroom kind of / sewing room with them. So that setup is really nice. Like I would love to have, like, you see all these amazing craft rooms on Instagram.
Oh,
you know,
I know.
Mine
just
does
don't
not
even
look
at
like
those.
That. Yeah. Like, again, maybe someday, but right now I have a little corner and then they have their big room with toys everywhere and the play mm-hmm. kitchen and the train table. But that setup is really great because I can get, you know, orders cut or pinned or whatever while they're playing.
Yeah.
Most nights we'll put them to bed and then that's kind of my sewing time, like 8 to 12 or 8 to 1. I kind of just crank it out.
In the morning?
So, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
But I am a night owl. Like,
okay.
I think I'd be up I need that time to decompress from the noise and the craziness.
Yes.
And I know some moms like swear by getting up early. I just, after all the noise, I feel like I need to kind of unwind and have something just for me. And, you know, I'll make a cup of tea or put on a show and sew, and it's kind of my happy place.
What would you say to a mom who is interested in starting a small business?
Well, it was really helpful for me to talk to somebody who had done it because I got kind kind of a little bit of feedback, like what worked for her, what didn't. She gave me like a rundown of Etsy. I think it's helpful if you can find people who do the same types of things, maybe not the exact same, but bounce ideas off of people. I know, like when I started making my coffee sleeves, I made up a bunch of kind of samples and had friends use them to give their feedback. Okay. I think it comes across in your shop if you really believe in what you are selling. Mm-hmm. If I'm putting all this time into something, you want to be proud of it, you know?
Definitely.
I think too, like when you're starting out, I think I did this, like not have expectations. Like I said, a lot of times it's slow at the beginning. You have to build up kind of a name for yourself. You get more sales as you start to get sales, you know what I mean? So at the beginning, a lot of times it's slow.
That's true. Overall, would you say that having a handmade shop has been a good thing for your family?
For sure. Yeah. I think it helps me not go crazy.
Yeah.
I love that my kids can see me doing a hobby that I love. Mm. I mean, they're surrounded by it. They know what Etsy is. My daughter helps mail my, actually just today, I sent her to the mailbox with some orders to slip in there before the mail lady came. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as much as they can be at 5 and 3, they're involved. Like they know what I'm working on. They see me doing it. My daughter's starting to ask for a sewing machine. Mm. So it's fun to have them see me invest in a hobby that I really like.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Yeah.
So you mentioned to me that you are really passionate about creating margin in your life.
Yes.
Is that something that's just part of your personality or it's something you've had to kind of change over time?
That's a good question. I think I'm pretty task oriented. Like I like to have a to-do list and like crank it out.
Mm-hmm, me too.
But I also am kind of a homebody. Like I'm an introvert. I like being home. I like having a slower schedule. Like if I'm like go, go, go through a week, I just need, like eventually I kind of crash and like need some decompressing time. So I think a little bit of both. Like I think I have to be intentional about it, but I also think it kind of comes naturally to me too when I'm thinking about it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to understand how you are wired, you know, so I don't judge moms who are packing their schedule with activities. Like, I think that's great if that works for your family and works for you. I just think for our family, like I've found that when we are go, 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 like not only do I feel more frazzled, but I think my kids do too. Like, I don't know, we play off each other's stress from that. And it just, we hit crazy real fast.
Yeah.
And I think too, I will say like, it's probably easy for me to say right now when my oldest is 5, like we're not in sports yet. We're not in school yet. She's not, we held her for a year for kindergarten. So she'll get next year. It'll probably look a little bit different in the future, I'm sure. But I do feel like my husband and I both want to continue that and be selective, I guess, on what activities they're involved in and just not packing our schedule for the sake of being busy.
Right. I've heard of a mom, we're not really sports people. So if our kids want to be, like, that's totally fine. But we almost don't know how to be sports people. Like, I don't really get it. I remember somebody saying they had a bunch of boys. And so theoretically, if everybody's in something, you can still be busy even if everybody's only in one thing.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so they had a thing, and I can't remember now who it was telling me this, but so 1 year, one kid was in sports, and the second year, the other kid was in sports. And so the off year, you got to go and be their like biggest fan and cheer them on, which I thought was kind of an interesting way to create even maybe more margin than the people who say, my kid's going to be in one thing, which can seem like an extremely small amount of things.
Yeah.
They did even less, which I thought was an interesting idea.
Yeah, that is interesting. Then it's kind of a family affair too, because it's not like you're juggling, like one parent's not dropping one kid and running to the other kid's game or whatever. Because inevitably you have conflicts with that kind of, you know, if two kids are in sport.
Right.
That's interesting. A lot of my childhood was in North Dakota and my brother played real competitive hockey. Like hockey there is just a way of life.
Okay.
Every single weekend of my childhood was at the rink with him, but I loved it. Like you become real close with all the siblings of the kids who are on the team. And and then my husband played competitive soccer like all through high school. So kind of trying to figure out like, like you said, like how do you know what to put them in, but then like when to start fostering that. And then if you even do want to foster it, your kids can have a full childhood without playing every sport. You know what I
mean? Really? Like,
you talk to some people and you wouldn't know that, you know, not to sound like old, but this day and age, can you say that when you're 30? This day and age people these days.
So when you're creating margin, you're cutting a lot of things out, but what's non-negotiable? Like what has to happen every week for your family?
Like as far as activities?
I don't know. Like, we have a family movie night on Friday night, and we have pizza. Okay. It doesn't matter what happens, like, as much as humanly possible. Right now, they get to pick some movie that I don't like. You know what I mean? Like, you know, at this point, they're not the most amazing piece of cinema, but we try to do it every single Friday.
Yeah.
So what about you?
That's fun. I make sure, like, every week we have kind of just a stay-at-home day. Like I said, my kids are young, but your schedule can fill up really quickly through the week. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we have preschool.
Hello?
Oh, are you there?
Yeah, I just couldn't hear you for a second.
Emily? Oh, what happened? Can you hear me now?
I can.
My earbuds always, like, I think my ears aren't big enough to have them, like, they perch in there, but then it started falling. So
I have the same problem. When I was in elementary school, they would give me hearing tests, and I couldn't hear the beep, and it's because my ear holes are too small, and they were like, well, she's deaf. I'm like, I'm not deaf.
That's really funny. I always, like, I'll use these at the gym or whatever, and I, like, try to shove them in. I'm like, how do people use, I mean, I do use them, but I constantly feel like they're falling out.
I
so
hear you. Small ear.
So I'll try not, yes. Yeah, we need to unite together. Try not to mess with it, but let me know if you can't hear me again.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Okay, so creating margin. Usually, we'll just have one day where they can kind of have a slow morning. I can get laundry done or clean up. You know, I'll do a chore around the house. We'll usually play a game. Like, they decide if they want to do art, whatever.
Okay.
No agenda, slow day. And I feel like that rejuvenates us. A lot of times it's Thursday. It's not always Thursday, but going into the weekend, we feel like, okay, we kind of decompressed. We have one more day of school and then we'll have a fun weekend as a family.
I think that's a great idea.
I mean, kids are resilient. Like, my kids would be fine if we were out and about every day. Like, a lot of my mom friends kind of go nuts at home. Like, they like to have the activities and the social interaction and all that. But I feel like for my kids, it's good to let them play in their surroundings here at home and not have a bunch of other people around. And I think it's fostered great relationships so far between my kids.
Mm.
I like seeing my kids play and not feel like we have to be out and about all the time. So. Yeah.
You mentioned that you struggle with self-sufficiency and you sometimes have a short fuse with your kids.
Yes.
Tell me about that. I've never experienced that.
Really? You need to give me pointers then.
No.
Oh my word. Yeah. So our pastor, I think the first sermon of this year, like right in January, he used the term self-sufficiency. I mean, you hear that here and there, but it kind of just struck me because I realized, like, I think I kind of compartmentalize my relationship with the Lord. It's easy for me to pray for, like, big things, life decisions, when we're moving or, you know, you hear a friend is sick or whatever. Like, I can pray for those people. It's easy for me to bring the Lord into the big things. But I think when I'm mothering, like, the pastor talked about defaulting to self-sufficiency and, like, kind of what that looks like. And I'm like, I think everybody could say they default here and there. It's just human nature. But especially with mothering, I mean, every single morning I wake up 7:30, I'm like, we are going to have a great day. Like, I'm so chipper, so excited to see my sweet kids.
Okay.
Like, after a night of sleep, like, I really like them, and they're so cute when they come in their pajamas, and I kid you not, like, 10 minutes into our morning, sometimes I'm like, holy cow, what is happening? It's just personalities play off of each other. Somebody wakes up cranky and, you know, one of my kids will kick the other, and, like, just all of a sudden, it's like, I'm patient, 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 and then I just hit the roof.
For entire minutes, I was patient.
Yes, exactly. And that's in my own power. So clearly it's not working well, you know?
Yeah.
So that just struck me. And I need to remember and figure out how to bring the Lord into this more, because I don't want to be the mom that yells, and I am the mom that yells.
Mm.
I mean, it's hard with little kids. Like, I'm not naive to think I'm never going to yell, but just, I think taking a step back in the midst of the crazy is hard for me because like I said, I'm patient, 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 and then I just react. The noise just, it gets in your head, and
I am a serious anti-noise mom.
Yeah.
Like, I need noise-reducing headphones.
Yes. How do you do that? They are so loud. And I feel, I mean, by the time my husband gets home every night, I just feel like, oh my gosh, like, your ears are ringing and it muddies your mind. I don't know. It's hard.
Oh, yeah. It's like I can see the noise waves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it shoots through my brain. Some days it doesn't bother me. And some days, 2 minutes in and I literally have a headache.
Yeah.
So, okay, this is what I do. I take some Advil.
Okay.
I tell the kids, you're causing me physical pain. Of course, they're like, I don't care about that. You know, they don't say that, but in their minds are like, this is not register.
Yeah.
I don't know, for some reason, just telling them, like, you're literally hurting me. Yeah. It makes me feel better. I don't know. They don't care. But if I can just go sit in a dark room, I sound like such a crazy person, but if I can just sit in a dark room for like 5 minutes, having taken some ibuprofen, it can kind of help me reset. Because if I don't, it only gets worse. And I just only get madder because I'm in more and more pain.
Yeah.
And it is hard. The end of the day, they just get more and more wound up because they're more and more tired, and you're more tired. And
yes, go downhill real fast. Yeah.
Yes. I saw on Facebook something. I don't remember where it came from, but it says mommy at breakfast, and it's like a Barbie carrying some food.
I think I saw that.
Mommy at dinner is like a
dinosaur.
Yes. I'm like, wow, yes. Yeah. That would be me. Yes. Someone saw it in my windows.
That's really funny. Sadly, I'm a dinosaur even before breakfast some days. I've been thinking lately, like at 5 and 3 and then 9 months, obviously, like they do not realize A, how loud they're being, but also I react to like the chaotic situations. And my 5-year-old, if she needs something and is being like, mommy, 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 a lot of times it's like that when I'm changing a poop blowout and my 3-year-old is dumping Cheerios. You know, it's like there's so much going on. But like realizing that my kids don't take into account what else is going on around them. Yeah. It's just their tunnel vision, you know?
Yeah. And if I can think of them as like, they're busy, like this is their work. You know what I mean? Like they're doing their deal. And my husband has to remind me, and they are not doing this to you because they are against you. They're not against you. Yeah. You know, the screaming isn't to cause a headache. The Cheerios is not because, you know, they know that it's 8:30 and they want to ruin the whole rest of your day. I think it's premeditated, and it's not.
I know. A lot of times I feel like they get together like, okay, everybody at 9:05, everybody go nuts.
Freak out.
The baby will poop, and all chaos will break loose. So realizing what age they're at, like I cannot expect too much of my 5-year-old because to me, she's my big kid, but like she can't even unbuckle herself in the car. Exactly. You know what I mean?
Like, ask her what year is it? Young. She's like, I have, what does that mean? Right.
Who's the president? Like, what?
I have no idea. My husband will say, she's only been on the planet for 5 years, you know? And then I'm like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. She's so new here.
Yeah. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Mm.
Okay. My computer like logged off, so I can't see your face anymore. So I want to make sure.
That must be a loss.
I feel like I'm talking to you, but you're not moving.
I know. I'm a ventriloquist.
Just like kind of leaning in front of the trees, smiling at me. Anyways, going back to your original question, I've been trying to read the Bible daily, which sadly has not, it kind of falls to the wayside a lot as a busy mom. I mean, it just hasn't happened as much as I would like. And I think using verses to combat that, talking about, like you said, like being honest with what I need. So being honest with the kids, like, okay, let's have a timeout or whatever so that I won't yell. But I think the biggest thing is just stepping back and like asking the Holy Spirit to like guide me in the chaotic moments, because I tend to react and not bring the Lord into those situations. So that's my prayer for this year, and I hope I grow in it, because I don't want to be known as the mom who yells, but it's just it can be tricky.
You were talking about bringing verses into it. I had a listener give me a message about this app called Verses. Have you heard about it?
No, I haven't.
You play games where you like fill in the blank, or there's just different ways that you memorize verses. It's so good. Because I want to memorize more scripture. And
Is it good for kids too, or is it more geared to adults?
You know what? I was thinking of using it with my daughter has to memorize a verse every week or two. It's part of her curriculum is to say to memorize this verse. Cool. And I think she would completely love that. So awesome. No, it would be a
problem. I guess, scripture memorization can be at any age, obviously, but I didn't know if they had specific things for kids or not. So my daughter does Awana, and I didn't use it last year, but we started using it this year. There's like a CD that comes in their book that will doesn't read the whole like week's lesson to them, but it reads the little story and then says the verse. Okay. And my kids love to just listen. Like they'll start it at the beginning and just kind of listen through the story and hear the different verses. And she retains so much. And I think I would too, actually, to be able to hear it rather than just read it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can open up the book for the next week and start to say the verse and she'll finish it just from hearing it on the CD like weeks ago. It's like she, I mean, I think kids are sponges. Like
they are.
She probably can retain stuff quicker than I can. But I mean, I think there's something to be said for trying different methods of memorizing rather than, because it's funny, I have actually in front of me like a little spiral bound 3x5 cards that I always use to memorize. But if you don't have it right there with you, you don't end up using it and looking at it, you know?
Right.
There's probably a lot of good, electronic resources. Again, this day and age.
Yes. Do you guys read the Jesus Storybook Bible?
Yes, love it. Yeah.
That is on audio. Have you?
Yeah, actually we have. Yeah, I think when Sydney was born, somebody gave it as a baby gift and we got one that has the CDs with it. And my kids like that too. So, and that's good for me to hear too, like in the background. Actually, we should take that out again. We haven't had it out in a while.
Yeah, my kids love his accent and...
Yeah, so well written. Did you know there's like an adult version of that book now?
No, I didn't.
I think it came out like before Christmas, but I think it's like the story of God's great love for you or something. Like they renamed it. I think it's the same text, but it's in like a format kind of geared towards adult.
Okay.
I don't know if there's pictures, but it's not the same artwork that's in there.
I love the art in that Bible.
Yeah. It's awesome.
And we would cry, me and my husband. Like,
I know. A bunch of babies. Yeah, parts of it. Like, you get choked up reading. Like, it's seriously. Just, I mean, even at the beginning. Yeah.
And then your kids look at you like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
You know. Do you have a cold?
What is going on? Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That's funny.
So, you mentioned that you would advise a mom who's having just kind of a disaster of a day to change her surroundings. And I want you to talk to me more about how that works for you.
Things can go downhill real fast. So we have an at-home day. If we've been stuck inside all day and things are just starting to fall apart, I found like getting outside or going for a ride in the car, like something super simple and quick can just change everybody's attitude so fast. So I try to like watch for like, is everybody fighting? Am I feeling really sick of everybody or vice versa? Like, are they clearly sick of me? We will go outside where they can be loud. I mean, that helps, like we were talking about the headaches from noise. Like, I think that can help me too. Like, get your crazy out here so that when we go back inside, you're not so wound up. We will take a ride, like sometimes so mom can get a Starbucks. One thing that we love doing, or my five-year-old really likes it, she loves to feel like she's in control and make decisions. So we'll go on, we'll go on adventures is what she calls them. And sometimes we'll do it on the way home from her school too. But she kind of came up with it where she gets to pick which way I turn. So dictates where I drive and she doesn't know, our town is big enough that like she knows some of the roads, but like we'll go into residential areas. Like we'll go, we live kind of on the border of town. So if we go one way down kind of a busy street, we get out into the country, I guess you'd call it.
Okay.
Like a lot more trees. If you go the other way, you're more in the town where there's businesses and stuff. So if we go out where there aren't as many businesses, like she doesn't know all those roads at all. So she loves like telling me turn right, turn left up here. Okay. You know, sometimes we just go in a big circle. Sometimes we get several miles away and I have to say, okay, we have to go home. Like that's getting too far.
Are you paying for gas? We're
turning around. Exactly. Something different to mix up the day.
That's great. And you don't have to use your mind.
Right. Yeah.
And they're happy because they're in control. I love it.
And they're buckled in, so I don't have to be watching anybody. Like, my eyes are on the road. And because I feel like, I don't know, sometimes my 3 and 5 year old can be best little buddies, but then one thing and they're like in each other's space and then, you know, the hitting starts or, we try not to hit and kick, obviously, but it can just get where I end up feeling like I'm the referee and in the car, you're not. My daughter's in the third row. My son's in the middle row. Like nobody's fighting. And I just feel like it calms everybody down. So we don't do that, every day or even every week, but I feel like it can help, especially in the rainy season here. We'll do that. And then vice versa too. Like if we're out, my kids do really well with errands and we'll run errands. But if I feel like I'm starting to, you have to just kind of be able to identify in yourself like what your tipping point is. But even if I have a few more places on our list, if I'm feeling frazzled or I'm yelling at my kids or whatever, like that's not worth it. So we throw it in the towel, head home. So change our surroundings by going home, grab a few books and snuggle under a blanket and read. Like I feel like it's really hard for me to stay mad at my kids when I'm in the car with them.
Okay.
or when we're reading a book. I don't know why those two things, but I just like that change of scenery or escaping into a book for just a few minutes, looking at the pictures with them, mm-hmm. cuddling up. I just feel like everybody likes each other again after the book is done. So
that's such a good point. Just to find those things, whatever they are for you, where what's the reset button?
Right.
How can we get there even if I still need to go to Costco?
Right. And sometimes that looks like, I mean, I go through a coffee drive-thru and sometimes they get a steamer, like, you know, something exciting and different in their day, like that can help reset everybody too, you know, or a cake pop or whatever it is. But
gotta love the cake pops.
Yes.
They're my kids' favorites.
Yes, mine too. Thankfully, my two older kids love to sit and read. So that is kind of our thing when we're here. Like you're having to read. My kids don't read yet. So I'm reading out loud, but that cuts down on the noise because they're listening too. Mm-hmm. So that helps me. My mind doesn't feel as muddied because they're focused on something. So
yeah. You know, it's interesting though. I thought when my daughter read, I mean, I've never done this parenting thing before. Right. I thought, okay, you know how to read, go read. But still our best connecting point is when I read to her.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't expect that. So
yeah, that's
but it's
good.
Been a big deal.
And she still likes when you read to her.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like when I get off the phone right now, she's like, okay, I need to know when you're off because we didn't get to read yet. And so
that's awesome.
Deep into a Little House on the Prairie series, and we need to know what happens next.
That's awesome. I bought the box set of those probably 3 years ago at a garage sale. I'm like so excited to start them with my daughter. We probably will this year. Like I didn't want to start too soon because I want her to be able to appreciate them.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're in my closet and I cannot wait. We've done a few chapter books and it's been really fun to just like once they hit the age that they can remember what happened the night before and are excited to find out what happens. It's really fun. There's so many series. Yeah.
We just had a dog die, and I'm not an animal person. Like, we didn't. Little House on the Prairie had a dog die.
After I reacted.
You're like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. But let me tell you, not a real dog. I totally cried. And I don't really like our real dog. And they know that. And so when I cried about the fake dog, my daughter looked at me like, are you kidding me right now?
Our passion for their dog.
I know. But the fake dog doesn't cause me any trouble in real life. Yeah. So he's like super.
Yeah, that's really funny. I'm not a big pet person. And several people have said like, so are you going to get a pet? Like, don't you want a dog? I'm like, I appreciate other people's pets, but that's like the last thing we need right now. Like that would put me over the edge.
You have a lot going on. Yeah.
Yeah. And some people just love, I mean, their pet is like their kid, but yeah, I maybe at some point, but I need my kids to be able to help walk it and stuff. I can't do it right now.
Yeah.
Books about dogs can be sad. I don't know if you've read Marley and Me. That one's sad.
They're all sad. There's a dog in it. It's sad. The dog is going to die. And I'm going to cry.
It's like the family's best friend. And yeah, I would have cried too.
Yeah. But my daughter who loves dogs, she didn't care.
Yeah.
So funny.
That's funny. There's been a few movies we've watched that I like. Cinderella. I watched that, like the real Cinderella with my kids a few weeks ago. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
Like several of the parents or adult figures die like early in the movie.
Okay.
And my daughter was asking a lot of questions and I was like, kind of looking at her out of the corner of my eye, like, is she okay? And she was like so matter of fact about it. I'm like, okay, like, I don't know, just innocence when they're little. But
you really never know what's going on inside their heads. My daughter, we told her she was adopted, and I didn't know that for years she thought she was a doctor because she misunderstood me. But she felt fine with it. I had no idea. But I'm a doctor.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
So I have one more question for you.
Okay.
What is something that you are telling everybody about? You can't stop talking about it.
I love this question. I love that you ask people.
Isn't it interesting?
Yes. Like there's so many good things out there to, whether it's little or big, like I just love knowing, what's striking other people. So I would say one of mine, I could go on for days about this, but do you know Rain for Roots, those CDs?
I don't.
Okay. So it's like a group of, I think maybe 4 musicians / moms from Nashville.
Okay.
Like Sandra McCracken.
No way. She's my favorite. Yes.
Okay. So you know her. So yeah, I think she might have headed it up. I could be wrong, but I think she started the group. I don't know. I don't know too much of the background, obviously. But the first one, they have 3 CDs. So the first one came out in conjunction with, it's called Baby's Hugga Bible. It's like this real soft, like kind of lamb fleecy material on the outside and super simple poems. I think like 10 or so.
Okay.
That are like geared towards like baby age from the Bible. So like little poems, but they're like Bible stories. So like Daniel, David, and Goliath, Noah, like God create, obviously I'm going backwards, but God creates the earth. Like, so super short,
okay,
geared towards babies. And the CD came out with it. So it put those poems to music.
Okay.
So we got that when my middle one, when my son, my first son was born, as like, I think it was an Easter gift or something, okay. But so we discovered it then, and just like the music is real folksy, mellow, real pretty songs geared towards kids, but adults can easily listen to it too, which
without
I appreciate.
Being irritated. Because, yes, that's so good.
Yes, because we'll listen. My kids love music, so like we'll have it on in the car or whatever, but I can only listen to so much like VeggieTales silly songs and,
right.
You know.
Right.
That's the first one. It's called Big Stories for Little Ones. The second one is called The Kingdom of Heaven is Like This, and there's no book. Like the first one is the only one that has the book that goes with it. And that's 10 parables put to music.
Okay.
So again, super nice songs. And then the third one, which is kind of why I'm sharing this, is called Waiting Songs, and it's an Advent album. Oh. So it came out, I think, like October or November, I think. I could be wrong, but it's pretty new. It came out before Christmas. And oh my gosh.
Like, so good.
Oh my gosh. It's so good. Like all three of them are worth owning for sure. You know, I was excited to see that they had a new one coming out. And so I ordered it for my kids. But then it was one of those that like every single time it was on in our car, I just was like choked up,
oh,
like
man.
Teary. I mean, it's an amazing CD. And it's just about like waiting. I mean, it's geared towards kids. So like there's a song. I mean, it's about the season of Advent, but there's a song like about how waiting can be hard, rejoicing that a Savior is coming, like the good King is coming, and just really songs written that they're able to easily understand, but that have deeper meaning too.
I can only imagine. Sandra McCracken's words are fantastic.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, they're so good. And it's like she, yeah, I don't know too much about the other women that she writes with, but I think they all, I gathered, because I liked them on Facebook, and they posted, like as it led up to Christmas, they posted a little, like some little blurbs about the background of the songs and like who wrote parts of it. And it seems like they all kind of pool together and like write the music and the words. But yeah, like all of them. So I think she's heavily involved, but I think they all have a hand in writing it. I don't know. But
amazing.
There's like a song talking about like already, but not yet, like that concept and just amazing. And it starts with O Come Emmanuel. And ends with another traditional, I forget what it is, but another kind of traditional Christmas one. But then all the songs in between those two are original to the CD. So I'm sharing this obviously right after Christmas, but if anybody hears this and buys it, I mean, I think it's a CD we'll listen to probably year round, but I think to listen to it, you know, before Christmas would just maybe be, I don't know if it would be more significant or not, but yeah, I don't know that anything has prepared my heart for Christmas like that CD. And it's funny because I did buy it for my kids, and then I'm the one that, like you said, is like crying over the CD. So
that's so wonderful. Thank you for sharing that.
Do you share what you're loving right now?
You know, most people don't ask me, so
should I put you on the spot?
Yeah, I suppose it's only fair that you put me in the spot. You're killing me here. It's so funny.
Sorry.
No,
I should have emailed you some questions. I'd be asking you. No.
That's so funny. Nobody ever asked me. So, you know what I mean? Like, I'm here just, yeah. Nobody even cares what
you
I think.
You have to have a few in your back pocket so that when people do ask you.
I know you've caught me completely off guard. Okay. So I love the Shakeology shakes.
Okay.
You know, yeah. They just came out with a new coffee shake.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yes.
I wondered how that was.
Well, yes. When they came out with the tropical strawberry, I thought, oh my goodness, I can't even wait. Well, I don't like it. And then when they came out with the vanilla, I thought that's going to be amazing. I don't like it. I really like the chocolate, but I've only liked the chocolate. I think it's because of all the bananas.
Yes.
I put a lot of
peanut butter
and peanut butter and milk and, you know, real chocolate chips.
That's really good for me to hear because my neighbor loves the strawberry and I had the sample pack. I always chose chocolate. I could not do the strawberry.
There's some weird.
And the vanilla was okay. But yeah, I like the chocolate.
Yeah, I love the chocolate. Anyway. Okay. So then I thought, well, I mean, the latte, is this going to be like the third strike and I'm always only going to have chocolate?
Yeah.
So I ordered some and I love it. It's amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you make it? Do you add?
Well, I'm trying to make good choices. So I add 1/2 of one banana.
Okay.
I think that's all I did.
Okay.
It was quite fantastic. I might have added some whole milk, but I might have done it really fast, like to pretend like I didn't really add it.
You just slap a little bit in there. It's like it wasn't even in there.
I like walk out of the room and do it. So it's almost like it didn't happen.
Have your kids do it. Then you can just say,
oh, whoopsie daisy. It's okay. I'll still drink it.
Yeah. Can't have this go to waste. Yeah.
Well, thanks for asking. I feel so special.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing.
Well, Caroline, thank you for being on the show and talking to me. It's really fun to kind of talk to you, even though, you know, I've known you for years on Instagram. But
yeah, I know. It's fun to hear. I've been hearing your voice on your podcast. But yeah, actually get to chat and look at your picture this whole time we've been talking. You're very happy, it looks like.
So fun. I love it.
Oh, all right.
All right. Well, you have a good night.
You too. Thanks.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
That was so fun. She's such a sweet girl. Something I love that happened in this chat was that we both realized we have real pain associated with the noise that kids naturally make. For a long time, I felt guilty that the noise gave me such an instant headache. I actually want to be the cool mom who's fine with all the noise, but I'm not, because it really hurts. I know that kids need to be loud, and I don't want to stifle any of their merrymaking. But when it's starting to hurt, I just ask them to continue their noise on the other side of the house, and everybody ends up happy. It was really nice to hear that I'm not alone, and I could tell it was nice that she knew we have that in common. Caroline graciously offered to give away 2 of those lip balm keychain things that we talked about in the show. Go ahead and follow along at Mom Struggling Well on Instagram for the giveaway sometime this week. So, what are you going to take away from this week's chat? Maybe you could create some more margin for your week by taking a day off or even a morning off. Maybe you could try the Versus memory app that I mentioned. Caroline talked about some great children's books and music. If you want to look into those as resources for your family, go to momstrugglingwell.com for the show notes. Maybe you go on some car adventures with your little ones where they get to be the boss of which way you turn. What she said about compartmentalizing God and only bringing him into some areas, I really identified with that. While I certainly don't mean to do that, I sometimes default to taking small matters into my own hands and not including or listening to the Holy Spirit in those situations. So this week, my strategy to struggle well is in the area of eating, actually. It sounds odd, but I really want to depend on God for comfort instead of food. I am reading Made to Crave by Lisa Turkhurst with some girlfriends right now, and it's really changing the way that I think about food. So yeah, not compartmentalizing God, but bringing him into my eating so I can make some progress in that area. That's what I'm going to work on this week. Well, thank you for spending this time with me. I'm super encouraged by the community that's growing of moms, and also not moms, who join us each week. You guys are awesome. Have a great week of struggling well.